Here in the United States, we've had a long and difficult history of race relations and racism. Things are certainly better than they were in the past, but there's still a great deal of work to be done. Most of that work surrounds symbols, which remain powerful remnants of the past. Those remnants are damaging, and I'm not speaking just about the Confederate battle flag, for example, that many Americans, especially in the South, still fly. I'm not speaking just about statues that commemorate Confederate generals and Confederate battle victories. I'm also talking about names. What's in a name? A lot, as it turns out. I'm John Kiriakou. Welcome to The Whistleblowers. I've mentioned in the past that I was born and raised in the northern U.S. state of Pennsylvania. Like every school child, I was taught American history as well as the history of the state. When we studied the U.S. Civil War, we were taught that it was a war to free the slaves who were held in bondage across the South, and that President Abraham Lincoln was the great emancipator and the greatest president in American history. We learned the historical fact that the war began when Southern rebels attacked the U.S. military's Fort Sumter in South Carolina. It wasn't until I was 18 years old and began attending a university in the South that I learned that not all Americans believed that the Confederacy's commanding general, Robert E. Lee, was a traitor. It was only then that I learned that many Americans, especially across the South, consider the Confederacy not as a rebel movement or as men who took up arms against their own government, but as heroes fighting to preserve the South's culture. Well, that culture, in my view, was an abomination, and it was rightly destroyed in the bloodiest war in American history. Now here we are, 159 years after the Civil War ended, and there are still remnants of those bad old days. It has only been in the past 7 years that the Confederate flag is no longer flying under the American flag in state capitals across the South. That's a step in the right direction, of course, but what about the sticky situation with names? What should be done about those? The NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, is arguably the most important group in America to advance the causes of civil rights, racial equality, and equal opportunity. The NAACP was founded in 1909 as an interracial endeavor to advance justice for African Americans by a group of intellectual giants like W.E.B. Du Bois and Ida B. Wells. Over the years, other giants have led the organization, like Thurgood Marshall, who went on to be a Supreme Court justice, and Roy Wilkins. But the organization's name is outdated. Indeed, it's offensive. And our next guest is working hard to change that. Delia Gray is a Texas-based community activist. She's waging a one-woman campaign to convince the NAACP to change its name, and she joins us today. Thanks for being with us, Delia.
Thank you so much for having me and realizing the importance of this issue.
Let's start at the beginning. You are a community activist, and you've been focused on things that I consider to be important issues that most Americans probably are not focused on. To tell you the truth, I've often wondered about the NAACP's name. It's offensive. Of course, it wasn't offensive 115 years ago, but it is now. When did you take up this issue, and what has the response been?
Okay, so thank you for asking me that. So in 2017, I held a rally in my hometown of Tyler, Texas, in East Texas. And after the rally, I realized that no one from the NAACP showed up. So I wanted to Google, and I've always known it's for Black people, but believe it or not, John, I did not know what the acronym NAACP stood for, as so many other people don't know what it stands for. Believe it or not, so many other black people don't know what it stands for. So I went home and I delved into, you know, the organization and everything, and when I did find out what the name stands for, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, I got angry. I was like, they're still calling us colored people. It was then in 2017. I was like, they're still calling us colored people in 2017. So So that's when I set out on a mission to get this changed. And I knew it would be a long road to hoe, but I'm willing to be in here for the long haul because this needs to be changed. It's offensive to still call us colored people. So that's how I got started on this mission.
You've written opinion pieces, you've given interviews, and you've appeared on television shows talking about your activism on this issue. You've been very clear about why you would like to see the NAACP either replace the word colored or change its name entirely. And you've spoken about the dark days of the Jim Crow era. So tell us about that. Your reasons for doing this are actually quite simple and clear. Why do you think it's been so hard to actually implement?
When I talk to people, I polled people, and they're saying, well, it's the history of the name. It's the history of it. They admit that it is offensive, but it's the history of the name. And or they say, we got bigger fish to fry, or you're just worried about a name, you know. But my grandfather and my father, let me explain a little bit about this. My father was a lot older than my mother. My father was born in 1919. My mother's father was born in 1911. So they went through all this Jim Crow era and things like that. So I would sit down, and my father just died at the end of 2015. So he hasn't been dead long. So I would sit and I would talk to him, and he was like, you know, baby, we used to have to walk on the other side of the road during the Jim Crow era. The color people had one side of the road to walk on, and the whites would walk on another side of the road. And they said, I've seen people beaten and jailed and killed because all they wanted was equality. All they wanted was to go in the front of the restaurant. So he said, even they feel that the name is offensive, but he thought it's a better way than to say the N-word. He said that's how they came up with the word colored, because they wanted to find another way to say the N-word. And that was nicer at the time. But as time went on, it has gotten derogatory. It's just like, John, the swastika symbol. Now, I did my research, and the swastika symbol did not start out as a bad symbol. But because of the Nazis and everything, it made it bad. This is also what the word colored has done for us. This is the exact same thing. There's no difference. It started out to mean well, but because of the Jim Crow era, the word colored has become and has been offensive for a long time. And for this organization to still want to portray us as colored people, it's very, very, very offensive.
I know that you actually began this quest by writing directly to the NAACP and asking them straight out to change the organization's name. What was their response?
Well, okay, so I did write a letter, but here's the thing. In May of 2018, I flew to the national headquarters in Baltimore, Maryland to present that letter to them to get them to change their name. The secretary met me at the door, and I told her what I was doing, and she said, okay. Well, she started laughing, you know, and then she said, well, I'll pass it on. And I didn't hear anything, nothing at all. For 2 months, I had to call them back and let them know, hey, look, I haven't heard anything. I presented a letter to you all 2 months ago. And she's like, oh, yeah, I sent it to the board. They're the ones that handle all this. I left messages with the board members. No one has returned my call. I went to the local chapter here, and it wasn't a warm reception. I didn't get a warm reception because they thought that I was against the NAACP. They thought I hated the NAACP. And it just was not a warm reception that I got, excuse me, from them. So it's been a long road. It's been long. I've been getting people just telling me how dare I, what is my problem? If it wasn't for the NAACP, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. And that's not the problem. The problem is the name that they are still calling us colored. So, John, here's the thing. Anytime a name offends somebody, they change it. The Washington Redskins. That name offended Native Americans. It offended Indians. So, because Redskins is derogatory, you cannot call them that. That is a derogatory name. They changed that. We have changed calling special needs people the R word, even though it's a medical term. We can no longer call them the R word. Even prisoners don't want to be called prisoners anymore. They want to be called inmates. So if everything else can get changed, why is it that they can't change their name or even just remove the word color? Okay, here's another thing. We know her as Aunt Jemima, but they decided to, because the name was offensive and what it represented was offensive, they decided just to have the Pearl Milling Company. Now, the syrup is still the same. It tastes the same. There's no difference. NAACP can leave their syrup the same, but they just need to rebrand, change the name so it doesn't offend us anymore. Because, John, if somebody walked up to me and said, hey, colored lady, I would be offensive. I'd be offended. I'd be ready to come to blows. So why can't we be just as angry or just as upset that this organization is still calling us colored people?
Delia, you wrote something that was very poignant that I hope you'll share with our viewers. You wrote about why the word colored is so hurtful. You compared it to the N-word in that there's real hatred behind it. You also write about your father and your grandfather and the racism that they had to endure and confront. So tell us about that. Tell us about what led you to this point today.
Well, I kind of get emotional a little when I start talking about this because, like I said, they were born in the early 1900s. So they experienced the hate from the beginning. I am I've experienced a lot of hate, but not as half of what they experienced. They were some of the ones that it really separated my grandfather from the rest of the world. He bought land in the country and he was basically secluded because he didn't trust banks. He didn't trust anything or anybody because of what he had endured. Because of the color of his skin, he said, we're not treated the same. He said, there's a law for them and a law for us, and it's not the same law. He said, so therefore, I just keep everything here that I know that's mine. It's mine. It's here. Nobody can take it from me. And so it caused him to become very secluded from the world because of the hatred. Now, my dad, he was born in 1919, and he was at the beginning of it, too. And he himself, his dad was a doctor. My dad's dad was a doctor. But because of the color of his skin and the things that he invented or the things that his dad invented as a doctor, they took it away from him because of the color of their skin. And my dad and them was totally different. They respected white people because they said, I know what they can do to us, you know. And then when the Jim Crow era came about, he said it really got worse during the Jim Crow era. The white people could come on the, quote, colored side of town and harass them and beat them up and do stuff they wanted to them. But the coloreds could not go to the white side of town and do anything to them, retaliate, anything, nothing. They would be killed. They would be hung. Anything would happen. So, and then they told me the water fountains in the restroom that was designated for black people didn't work half the time. So they really, a lot of times, didn't have anywhere to use the bathroom. This is what is connected with this word colored. So, yeah, that's what they would tell me, because I did ask them, and you know, and they let me know, and they're like, you know, it's sad that we were judged for something we can't help, for just for the color of our skin, something we can't help. We were judged for it. We were beaten for it. We were jailed for it. And all we wanted was equality. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less, just to be equal.
Thank you, Delia. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some of the other remnants of the bad old days of racial animus in American society and culture that also must be changed. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking today with Delia Gray. She's a Texas-based community activist, and she's waging a one-woman campaign to convince the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or NAACP, to change its name. Thanks again for being here, Delia.
Thank you for having me. You're welcome.
Delia, let's go back just a little bit. You are relatively new to activism. I read that you were spurred to action because of the far-right racist march in 2017 in Charlottesville, Virginia. I remember that awful day as if it were yesterday. Far-right extremists, racists, and neo-Nazis marched freely through the streets. They instigated violence, and one young woman was run over by a car and killed. Tell us about the impact that Charlottesville had on you.
I felt like she was running for me, like she was saving my life. She risked her life to save my life. John, every day I wake up, I'm fighting for my life just because I'm a black female. I am fighting for my life every single solitary day. And I feel like no one understands, but I felt like she was saying it was solidarity. She was standing with us and said, you know what? I am here with y'all. You know, I want to stand with y'all. I want to empathize and let y'all know that I am here. That had a profound impact on me. That made me want to get up and say, hey, if she can get up and stand up and say this is wrong, I don't want her fight to end. I want to continue her fight. You know, I hope I am doing her well by continuing to fight with alongside her. I know physically she's not here, but she's in a lot of people's heart. So I want to continue her fight. I want to bring justice. I want to bring equality to everybody. That's why it's not equal for this this organization to still call us colored. John, I did, like I was telling you earlier, I did some research. I looked up the NAACP executives and demographics. 65% of the NAACP are women, 35% are men. Now, 74%, this blew my mind, 74% of the management is white. 11% of the management is black, and 7% is Latino or Hispanic. And then I got to thinking, well, maybe that's why they don't want to change the word colored, because it's a lot of white people that's over this company, and they think still calling us colored is just fine. You know, maybe they grew up in the era where calling us color was fine. It's no longer acceptable. We would no longer accept this. It is not 1909 anymore when the NAACP started. So it is no longer acceptable, and they need to change this racist name they have.
What was the first issue that you took on? What did you do right after Charlottesville?
I held a rally in my home. That's the rally I was talking about earlier, that no one from the NAACP showed up. I did a Stop the Hate rally, and I was telling them that if you come into Tyler hating or trying to hate, we'll run you out. We're not going to tolerate the hate here. We are about love. We are about peace. We are about equality here. Don't come here with the hate. So I did a Stop the Hate rally. About 100 people showed up, which that was my first time ever organizing a rally, ever doing anything. And I was so happy that that many people showed up. So, and then after that, I was like, there's more that needs to be done. There's more. So I've been doing work ever since then. Ever since 2017, I have just been consistently. Now, for the last 6 months, I have slowed down because in January, I was in a head-on collision where someone hit me and I broke my neck and my back. But that hasn't stopped me all the way from getting on the phone, talking to people, saying this is wrong, saying we need this change. Also, John, I'm going to go back. I also flew again. This is how important this issue is to me. In 2022, I flew back to the national headquarters again to present them with another letter because I feel like they didn't answer me the first time. You know, if try again. So I tried. I got there. The office was still closed down. The security was there. He took the letter. He said, I'll pass it on. I taped letters to the front of the door and everything. Nobody has answered me. Nobody seems to want to talk about this issue. So I got to keep fighting. I've got to keep fighting until this gets changed.
Delia, I want to get back to the idea of symbols. I said in the opening that I was 18 years old when I first realized that not every American considers Robert E. Lee to be a traitor. Many see him as a bona fide hero, which is just a mystery to me, but he's the definition of a traitor. He took up arms against his own government. It's as simple as that. And here we are, more than a century and a half later, and we still have things like the Stone Mountain Monument, a Confederate carving in the side of a mountain outside of Atlanta, Georgia. We still have hundreds, maybe thousands of Confederate statues and monuments all over the country, but mostly in the South. What do you make of all that? Why haven't we seen more changes, even after all these years?
They don't want to see our progression as people. I feel like change is hard for people. They're like, they feel like the NAACP, well, it's the history of it. It's the history. It shouldn't be offensive. It's the history. John, there's nothing we can do to change history. History will be there. But going forward, we can make it equal for everyone. We can remove the statues and the flags. We can remove the racist word colored from the NAACP. So I feel like people feel it's the history of Robert E. Lee, of the Confederate flags, of the monument you were talking about. They feel like it was the history of it. But they don't understand how that history hurt people. That history really did damage to people just because they didn't look a certain way. So that's how I feel about it.
Delia, where can people learn more about your work and perhaps get involved?
I am on LinkedIn. That's how I reached out to you. Also, the best way they can see all my work and to get in touch with me, they can Google Delia Gray, NAACP. There, they'll see that I have a petition as well that they can sign so that we can get this offensive name changed. I'm also on Instagram. I am on X. So, yeah, there's a lot of ways to get in touch with me. There's also an article on there that I did in the Longview News Journal, one of our local papers, that has my, they can read that, and it has my email address. You can call, email me at any time to ask me any questions. So, yeah, but the main way is to Google Delia Gray, NAACP. Now, I do want to say something. So, I was saying earlier that I talk to a lot of people, and Black people feel that, like I said, it was the history is why the NAACP shouldn't change. And white people feel like it's not their place. It's not their place to say whether this name is offensive or whether it needs to be changed. It is. It's everybody's place. We are the only race, John, with six different titles. We are Black. I'm not talking about the derogatory names. We are Black. We are African-American. We are Afro-Americans. We are colored. We are Negro. And now we're in that people of color. And so I just want to be referred to as a Black American. I don't want to be called anything else but a Black American. And why can't that be? Why do we have to have a different name every 10 years? They come up with a different name for us. And that too has to stop. That goes along with this. Everybody's saying, a lot of the white people I posted, this organization still does it, so it can't be offensive if they're still doing it. Well, that's why I'm trying to get it changed, because it is offensive, and they do need to change it.
That's right. Well, very, very best of luck to you. Listen, you're on the right side of this. You are on the right side of history. Thank you, Delia. The great 19th century civil rights hero Frederick Douglass once said, "Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will." And NAACP co-founder Ida B. Wells once said, "The way to right wrongs is to turn the light of truth upon them." They were both absolutely right. Remember, hope is not a strategy. If you want change, you have to fight for it. And that's what Delia Gray is doing. I would like to thank Delia Gray for being with us today. And thank you to our viewers for joining us for another episode of The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. Please follow me on Substack @John Kiriakou, and we'll see you next time.